Third speaker is Scott O'Brien. He is Chief Investment Officer at Innovate UK. Before that, he worked at the British Business Bank. He was involved in the development of innovation loans. He has also been involved in developing Innovation Hub, a gateway. And while I've been describing Scott, I see I should have referred at the same time as referring to Chi. It's great to see that we've also got the former Science Minister, George Freeman, with us. So we really do have a proper cross-party opportunity. It's great to see George as well. Scott, over to you.
Thank you. And not at all intimidating to have my former minister at the back of the room either. So it's a great privilege for me to speak here today. And if you'll just forgive me for a moment, I noticed on the website of the foundation that it was founded in 1977. When we think about the 47 years since then and technology development and everything else, and having also been founded in 1977 myself, I feel like I might be slightly behind the curve, but that's fine. So I'm really proud to be here representing Innovate UK because we are the business-facing end of UK research and innovation. And the pride comes from being part of an organisation that's currently supporting about 6,500 projects, that last year processed over 4,500 applications. And that volume and that sense of momentum that's coming from the research-based through business-led innovation is really powerful. And it also comes from the shifts in thinking that we're beginning to go through in Innovate UK. And part of that is making, and it's interesting it came up in the previous speech, is making Innovate UK more product-centered. And that means thinking more about the user, not just creating something which is easy to administer and so on and pushing it out, but listening to the needs of innovators. And of course, one of the big needs identified is the needs of scale-up businesses, which Innovate UK, traditionally, we've been great at helping that sort of early stage technology transfer, spin out and things like that. But actually, we realize that we have to help those businesses then scale and grow beyond what we potentially do, but getting into private capital and actually getting to market and scaling effectively. Now, I can't run through all of our products and services at the moment, but I'm going to focus on the ones that I think are particularly relevant to scaling businesses. So the first, Innovate UK is not all about grants. Grants are a great way of fostering collaboration, de-risking earlier stages, cutting-edge, high-risk innovation, but they're not always the answers for businesses looking to achieve commercial growth and scale. Sometimes what a business needs at that point is guidance, an external voice, the right constructive challenge. And at Innovate UK, we have a scale-up program aimed at providing those things, and our scale-up directors are experienced business people with an innovation lens who work with individual businesses to support them as they mature. And there's actually already also a pilot program running at the moment in conjunction with the Scale Up Institute to connect businesses with non-executive skills as well, so they can round out their board, they can mature their governance and so on. And just picking up on something that came up earlier, we are in the process of doing some work around workforce foresighting. So what are the skills that are needed in the future to underpin those, actually building marketplaces and networks and putting into the public domain, market-facing data around those things that we hear about where the market is going, and of course, connecting back with the Department for Education and others around that. So that system, we're trying to make those connections and join up for the service of the innovation system and the businesses within it. Alongside Innovate UK Business Growth Support, there's Innovate UK KTN, so Knowledge Transfer Network, which is about making those connections and convening. So putting together an innovator with an academic, with a business, with an investor, importantly with a customer as well. And actually, if we can help to form that sort of trinity together, then actually that helps to get that message that we were talking about around de-risking. It helps as an investor, and that's my background. It helps as an investor, if you can see the customer that this is eventually going to go to and you understand the route to market and the business model. And I've mentioned investors there, and let's be honest, government can commit as much as it wants in terms of resource and capital to this, but whatever we do, even if it's 5, 10 billion, that's a drop in the ocean compared to the power of those markets. So how do we bring investors in to support those businesses, and how do we de-risk, as you've mentioned? And I guess there are two programs I'd flag, albeit they're at the earlier stage, they're at that pre-scaled stage, and we need to think about how we expand the reach of those. First is investor partnerships, and the second one is innovation loans, which are both within my portfolio within the business. Now, it's core business as usual now. We were in pilots for those for a number of years, since about 2017. But we now have 80 million for investor partnerships. We have 150 million in a spending review for innovation loans. And if we take investor partnerships first, that is a grant program. So you apply, you get a grant for your project in the usual way. It's up to 70% for some industrial research. That's all great. What we want in that program is for that to be linked with aligned investment from an investor partner. And we don't want them to give the match. And I wish that we could just lose the word match forever. What we want them to do is to put an equal amount of capital into that business. So if we put in $500,000, they put in $500,000. If we put in $1 million, they put in $1 million. And that's because that brings into the business foundational capital that can be spent. We're de-risking the technology. We're helping with the innovation project. We're helping with that really risky, difficult stuff. And the investor's money can then go into growing the sales team, building commercial function, building financial capability, maturing the governance. And I'm pleased to say we're now up to 115 investor partners who have signed up, who we know are credible, capable, aligned in their thinking, including Amadeus Capital Partners. And we had a really big celebration when they came on board. But they go from relatively small, so angel networks and so on, through to CVCs, people working in particular verticals, be it life sciences or agriculture, ag tech, and so on, but also some bigger generalist investors as well. And they come from the UK, they also come from Europe, and we've got some from the US who have come over and become part of that program as well. And we will continue to grow that base of investors who are interested in, aligned in, and committed to investment in the UK through innovation. And the joy of that program actually is it's not one for one. We typically get two for one in terms of the investment on that first round. So we give you $500,000, the investor normally comes in with $1 million. And when they follow on 6, 12, 18 months later, it's more than five times. So that ability to get an investor in earlier than they would usually come in, you've got them on the hook, they understand your business, you've got the benefit of their experience and insight into your business, and then you've got them on the hook for building syndication, whatever it happens to be, across that network of investors. And we try and make it a network, a cohort that works together to fund future deals as well. So briefly, innovation loans, which is the other thing that I spend my day job doing. We can do up to $2 million for later stage R&D per project. So some businesses we've got $4-5 million out to because we're willing to look at sort of multiple loans within that portfolio. And the challenge with later stage R&D is that your subsidy control rules mean that typically that's about 45% support. What we can do on innovation loans in exchange for a little bit of interest, and it's very patiently structured, and some relatively light rules and covenants around the loan document, is to do 100% of that investment to cover 100% of your costs. And we can do that quarterly in advance. And actually, you only have to pay half the interest during the period when you're actually doing the R&D, when you're actually getting to market. And only once you get to market do we say, okay, we'll start having the money back now, please. And if you're thinking about risk, and we talked about risk earlier, if you imagine the risk appetite of a venture debt lender at senior debt pricing and the senior debt terms, that's where we sit, because it's additional to the market. So that's what I spend my day doing. And that investment and seeing the technologies and seeing the businesses take that and then succeed, it is just absolutely the other thing that drives me through this. And we've had 40, 50 million pound exits within the portfolio. We've had a lot of people struggling because, as we've said, innovation is harder, it takes longer, and it costs more than anyone ever imagines at that front end. But that's our experience, and we will keep doing that. And actually, non-dilutive capital is always helpful when you're then going on to raise. So my last thing is, increasingly, it's becoming clear that the scale and impact of Innovate UK will be greater the more we can support current and future scale-ups, as well as spin-outs and startups. So that's a bit of a shift for Innovate, but it's a direction that we're heading in. We're doing joint work with the Scale Up Institute. We've got a memorandum of understanding with London Stock Exchange Group. We are moving in that direction, and we will continue to support and grow that opportunity.